What does Christmas mean to us? I've got 10 points this morning, so if you're making notes, taking notes, write it down. After each point, I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and we're going to kind of make this a two-way message today. So I want you to, if you can, take your notes. If not, get your phone out and record it or go back and watch it. 10 things that Christmas means to us. And so we'll just start with number one, and we'll get right on with this. Number one, God is with us. God is with us. Man, that is one of the greatest truths of Christmas, is the reminder that we're not alone and that God is with us. The Bible says in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's dwelling among us. He's living in us. And I'll get to that in just a minute. How many knows God not only is he with us, but he's what? For us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so God is with us. He's for us. How many knows he's in us? We've got all these different ideas and things about what where God is at. And he does it all at once. He can be everywhere with us, for us, and in us all at once. And so how many knows we didn't have to work our way to God? Isn't it great that all we had to do was wait for Christ, and then he comes to us, and then we're able to receive him? And if you've ever felt like God was maybe a little apathetic towards you, or a little slow in answering your prayers, or maybe you felt like he's never going to come through, remember the story of Christmas, because he did come, and he came right on time. He wasn't a minute late. He wasn't a minute early. He came right on time. And you know what? He's still coming through for us today at the right time. Sometimes we get a little anxious because we may not see the answer to our prayer. We may not hear the voice of God. We may not, actually, sometimes, how many know sometimes we do walk by faith? We do walk by faith. And so this morning, I just want to remind you that God is with us. Whether you can see him, whether you can feel him or detect him, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with us. And I'm telling you what, we don't serve a God way out yonder somewhere. You don't have to scream and yell and holler to get God's attention. God is in us. Amen. And so just remember, when you're praying, you know, I know sometimes people get a little excited when they pray, but you can pray and talk to God without raising the roof, all right? So he's always here. He's abiding within us. In fact, Matthew 1:23 says this: "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Say it with me. God is with us. Did you say it? Yes. Let's try it one more time. I didn't hear you. Okay. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, thank you for always being with me. You promised to never leave me or forsake me. When I'm tempted to doubt your presence, remind me that in Christ, you came to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, here's another meaning of Christmas that means is important to us, is God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten us. When Jesus was born, do you know there was some dark periods, some dark ages between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew? People were yearning for a word from the Lord. They were hungry to hear God speak, and there it's what we call the silent years, over 400 years, and there was nothing going on. It was just quiet, quiet, quiet. But I'll tell you what, he didn't forget about us. Because he did come. Can I hear a good amen this morning? People were longing, they were waiting, and he did fulfill his promise. And I want to remind you that God has not forgotten you. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 that Mary was singing this song. Here's a song that she sang. "He has helped us. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." He remembered, just like he remembered the slaves of Egypt, the children of Israel in Egypt. He remembered them. And when the fullness of time was come, he delivered them. And when the fullness of time was come, how many knows? He was born of a virgin. Zechariah also sings a song in Luke chapter 1. It says, "He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant." God will not forget his covenant that he's made with mankind. It's the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. So remember that God will never forget you. And I know there's times in our lives we feel like we're all alone, we're lonely, we're, you know, nobody's around. But God will remember his mercy. He will remember his covenant. He will remember his promises. Can I hear an amen? Oh, and listen, he remembers so well. God does not have dementia. Amen? God doesn't forget. He does not have dementia. Oh, and he hasn't lost your address. Have you ever called somebody and they didn't take your call, and a little bit later they call back and said, "Who is this?" Well, I lost my phone, or I lost my contacts, and I didn't know who it was. That'll never happen with God. He'll never lose your address. He'll never lose your number, right? Somebody say amen. Amen. And it says here that the Bible says when it says God remembers, it doesn't mean that he just, it's brought up again in his mind or his attention because he forgot something. When he says attention, it means, when he says remember, it means to fix your attention on something and fix it. Yeah. To put your attention on something and act upon it. And the Christmas story was God acting upon the promises. He remembered the promise in the covenant that he had made with Abraham. So I want to tell you today, be encouraged. God's not forgotten about you. Now, I know this is elementary today, but we, you know, sometimes we just have to go back to the basics, right? Yep. Remember the writer said, you know, it's not grievous for me to put you in remembrance of these things. So let's just be reminded today that we're not, he has not forgotten us. Isaiah 49, one of my favorite scriptures. Can a mother, I'll ask you mama something. Can a mother forget her nursing child? That was kind of weak. What about the rest of you ladies? Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. He will never forget you. It's good news, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're always mindful of me. When I'm tempted to believe you've forgotten me, help me to see your providential care every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, God is with us. Number two, God has not forgotten us. Number three, God understands. God understands where you're at. God understands what you've gone through. Thank God he came to our world. How many knows he broke into this messy world? He came from heaven. He came from the places of splendor and glory, left it all up there, and came down here as a man. And of course, you know the hypostatic union, but he did come here as all man, all God. But he came as a baby in a manger. And how many knows during that time, it was a great reminder that he came into a world that was filled with political unrest. He came into a world that was filled with brokenness and sickness and disease. And thank God he's still with us today. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. He's been where you've been. You're not going through anything alone. He's been through. He's a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53. He understands our pain. He's not unconcerned about us. It's not that we're nobodies, and he's only after the rich and the famous. I'm telling you something. God cares about each and every one of you. He doesn't care about your education. Doesn't care about divorced or married. He remarried. He doesn't care. God has not forgotten about you. And he understands exactly what you're going through. Hebrews 4:15 says the high priest, this high priest of ours understands our weakness. Everybody say he understands us. Come on, shout it out. He understands me. He faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find, there we'll receive mercy and find grace to help in help us when we need it the most. Amen. Everybody say good news. Good news. God understands us. So how many know sometimes we don't understand ourselves, right? Have you ever done something stupid? Did you ever ask yourself, why in the world did I do that? I don't understand why I did that. We've all been there, haven't we? God understands you. Pray this with me. Lord, thank you for being able to understand my weakness and yet be strong enough to help me. Thank you for your grace. Help us to overcome every one of our trials and temptations. In Jesus' name we pray. Number four. No, you don't have to say number four. I said number four. God is great And he is unexpectedly humble. He is great. He is full of grace. He's great, and he's unexpectedly humble. Christmas time is a great time to be in awe at the great lengths that God has gone to show us how much he loves us. Can you imagine Jesus Christ saying, I'll go. I need somebody to go to the earth and represent God and man at the same time. Do anybody want? And Jesus said, I'll go. What a sacrifice that was, because he knew there was coming a time in his life when it has never happened before that he would be separated from his Father. Can you just hear the cry on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? What a gift the Lord Jesus Christ was to come into this earth. Amen? Amen. How many knows the God of the universe is present everywhere, but yet he didn't have room to be born? Didn't have a room to be born in. All right, the Son of God tells us, boy, y'all quiet today, amen? You're kind of quiet. Can we just practice? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. I didn't know if y'all had checked out to go eat early or something. I always struggle with days that we have dinners because I know where your heart is. It's around the table. Yeah, at Christmas time we stand in awe at the majesty and the humility of God. How many knows he didn't come, like Lou said earlier, he didn't come in a chariot, he didn't come on a white horse, he didn't come down and overthrow the Roman Empire like they were expecting. He came as a baby, and I'm so glad that he just came to, you know who he showed himself to? Those little shepherd people out in the field, those little no-lifes, those little nobodies he showed himself to. You know what? God is no respecter of persons. Can I get a good amen here today? And when he comes, he didn't come with an angry fist. Amen? He didn't come with an angry fist. He didn't come shouting from the heaven, but he had an open hand, willing to help. Luke chapter 2 says, she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Let's pray. Lord, you are infinite in power, yet you humbled yourself and became a man to seek and to save me. What an amazing God you are. Thank you for your immeasurable, boundless love. In Jesus' name. Number 5. God is still at work in the darkness. He's still at work in your midnight hour. Amen? Remember the song, he's the God of the mountain, but he's also what? He's also the God of the valley. Amen? He's God of the day, and he's God of the night. God is with us. He's at work in our darkness when we can't even see him working. So if I were to ask you this morning, why did Jesus come? I'm sure I would get a lot of answers like, well, he came to save us. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He came to demonstrate miracles of God. He came to show the love of God. But I want to show you what John says in 1 John 3 and 8. The Apostle John really makes it very clear why Jesus came. 1 John 3 and 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. I'll say it again. You might get excited on the second round. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He fulfilled what he came to do. Woo, got a wild one back there. You know, immediately after the fall, how many knows God showed up? And God showed up, and he, you know what he told that serpent? There's one coming out of this woman. There's a seed coming out of this woman that's going to bruise your head. He can bruise his heel, but it's going to bruise your head. Yeah? He's going to destroy you. He came to destroy the works of the devil. How many knows? He crushed the work of the enemy. To destroy, if you look it up, it means to dissolve, to undo, as if it never was there. That's what Jesus came to do, to destroy the works of the enemy. Actually, Genesis chapter 3:15 is the very first reference to the good news that a Savior would come and destroy the devil's work and redeem us. Amen. Isaiah 9 and 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. When you can't see God, he's still working. When you can't feel God, he's still there. Amen. When you don't hear from God, he's still there. Number six, moving right along. We're doing good. Number six, God has good news of great joy for all people. Didn't you love those little comments those kids made? I didn't hear any of these in their comments. But God's, the good news is that he came with great joy for all people. Luke 2 and 10, the angels announced to the shepherds, good news of great joy will be for all people. Everybody say good news.
Good news.
Everybody say great joy.
Great joy.
For how many people?
All.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. Are you sure it's for all people?
Yes.
Well, what about those that messed up? What about those that became Christians and then they messed up horribly? Huh? Came for all people, didn't he? All ethnic groups. Did you hear me? All ethnic groups. He came for the poor. He came for everybody. He came for the educated. He came for the uneducated. In fact, Corinthians talks about how the wisdom of God, somebody help me here. How's that go? The foolish things confound the wise. I don't know, something like that. I know where I'm thinking about. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you. Just showing me up, aren't you? I'm so glad that he really, really lived among us. Now, that's hard for us to go back, you know, 2,500 years or 200, 2,000 years or whatever, and remember that Jesus actually lived among us as a child, but grew up as a man and did what he said he was going to do. Amen. The good news is that we have a Savior. Good news. Shout good news. Good news for all people. Amen. Let's see here. He offers the free gift, and it's news for all people. No one is outside the reach of God's grace. No matter what you think of somebody, no matter what their evil deeds are, no matter what their lifestyle is or their culture, they are not outside the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Everybody's welcome. Amen. And I just like to say that with that in mind, that it's whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, not the hand-picked ones. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. We have a few whosoevers in here this morning. There's a whole lot of whosoevers out there. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. What's a whosoever? The only thing I can think of, Brother Ron, is a whosoever is a whosoever. Whosoever calls shall be saved. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
He didn't come for just a handpicked, a particular group of people. Everybody's welcome to come to Jesus and receive that free gift of salvation. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Everybody shout, all people.
All people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
He came for all people, even you and you and you that probably didn't deserve it, right? Who did? Pray with me. Father, thank you for sending your son. Thank you that he has saved me. Help me to always rejoice in my salvation. Give me the words and the opportunities to tell others about the wonderful free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name. Number seven, God graciously gives and he graciously saves. Christmas time is a time of giving. How many love it? When those kids come down the stairs or they run into the living room or wherever, the den or whatever, and they see that all the trees under the all the packages under the trees, or all the trees under the package, however you want to say it, and they how many knows what joy it brings to us as parents when we watch, especially those little ones, begin to tear into those and look at what they've received. What a joy it is to give. What a joy it is to watch them receive the gift. Now it would be so uncouth to turn around and give that gift back to somebody. Re-gift. Re-gift. Do you ever re-gift anything? Come on, you all know exactly what I'm talking about. Somebody got you something for Christmas and you put it on a shelf and next year you're going to re-gift it to somebody else. I'm so glad that Jesus came and there's nothing like receiving a gift from a loved one. And thank God, God is a giver. God is a giver of gifts. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our greatest need required the greatest gift. And the greatest gift that God could send was himself. Amen. And that's exactly what he did on Christmas. That's what Christmas means to me, that God came in human flesh to redeem us and to remind us of the promise that he made to Abraham. Amen. Just receive the gift. You don't have to pay him back. The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe it is, that, you know, you can't work for your salvation. It's the gift of God. You can't do so many good deeds and expect, you know, that's your ticket to heaven. Amen. Well, I go to church 2 times a week. I fast, I pray, I tithe, I do all this. But that's not what gets you to heaven. It's receiving the gift that that God gave us through Jesus Christ. Just receive it. One of the problems that we as believers have is once we get saved, we feel like we have to work to stay saved. Come on. I believe good works will follow you if you are a believer. But it's not because you're trying to get favor with God. Good preaching, Pastor Rhodes. I think I'll say amen to myself. Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Amen. Would you pray this with me? Father, thank you for the gift of your son. There's no greater gift that you could have given us. As I give and receive gifts this Christmas, help me to not lose sight of the greatest gift. In Jesus' name. Number 8. Is that right? Am I on number 8? Okay. Number 8. God always keeps his promises. You can go back every one of these and be reminded at Christmas that this is what God has done. One of the good things about Christmas is it's a reminder that God keeps his promises. Matthew 1:22. All this took place to fulfill what God had said through the prophet. Amen? And I said earlier, and I'll say it again, we often struggle with waiting on God. We wait and we think, God, where are you at? Don't you know those people waited for the coming Messiah for so long? They kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And some of them did give up. Some of them, you know, gave up early. But I want you to know that he did come through. He did fulfill his promise. And he's still keeping his promises today. If there's a promise in the Word of God... Forgive me. If there's a promise in the Word of God, it's yours. Amen. 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 Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am standing on his word divine. Who all knows that song? About 3 of you. Every promise. Y'all are not Pentecostal, are you? Josh and I is the only 2 Pentecostals in here. You know that, don't you, babe? Well, you can tell I didn't know them all either. As I said earlier, the promises that were fulfilled at Christmas were promised years and years and hundreds and thousands of years before. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. If you're still with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But don't forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come. How many come to repentance? I need to read that again. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but what? Everyone to come to repentance. Now, how many knows not everyone's coming to repentance, probably? Not everyone's coming to, and the Lord knows which ones are and which ones aren't, but he's still willing that everyone comes to repentance. Amen? So Christmas will always remind us that God fulfills his promises. While it may not be our desired time, it may not be at the calendar that we wanted it to come, but God always comes through. Say this with me. I can trust God's timing. Say this with me. I can trust him when I can't trace him. He's promised you it'll come through. Amen. Luke 1:69 says he hath sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Amen. Good news. Amen. Number 9. Oh, we need to pray. Lord, I thank you for being the God I can trust. You are faithful to fulfill your promises. When I grow impatient, help me to wait on you in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 9, we only have this and one more. God is worthy of all praise. It reminds me, every time, Christmas should remind us how people came to worship the babe. But I tell you what, we're still worshiping the King of Kings today. Somebody said, well, why do you have to take 45 minutes in praise and worship? Why do you all have to spend 30 minutes in praise and worship? Well, you know what? He's worthy of every minute that we come together. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of the worship that we offer to him. Amen. You know, you can not be a musician and not be a singer, but you can still enjoy praise and worship. Amen. You may not know G from C or D or A, but I want to tell you something. You can still be a praiser and a worshiper. Amen. You may not even know when they make a mistake up here, but you can still be a worshiper. Amen. And in fact, if you are aware that they make a mistake, don't let that stop you from worshiping. Yo, critical grouch you. Amen? All right. Where am I? He's worthy of all praise. Some of these songs. Hark the herald angels sing. Joy to the world. Silent night. Oh, holy night. Away in a manger. Oh, come, Emmanuel. The list could go on and on and on. And we love to sing these songs at Christmas. We sing them because it's a time to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are praising God for sending his son on time. Woo! Give him a praise. You can praise him. Man, you cannot read the Christmas story without reading about the songs that was sung at his birth. Mary's song in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah's song in Luke chapter 16, or Luke chapter 1, the angels singing at Luke chapter 2. Luke 2:20 says, at the birth of Christ, the shepherds worshiped Jesus, as did the Magi. Man, when you consider everything that God's done for us, how many think 2024 might have been a little rough year for you? About 5 of you? How many knows you're still here? You're still standing, aren't you? I read on Facebook recently where somebody said, oh, I barely survived 2024. I'm so glad it's over. Well, if your attitude don't change, it's not going to be any better in 2025. Amen? Where's your expectations? What are you believing God for? What is your vision for 2025? What has God laid on your heart to do for him in 2025? Your greatest pleasure in life comes from doing what God told you to do for the body, for his people, for his kingdom. Amen. So what are you doing? What kind of plans do you have? Do you have plans to just dredge through 2025 and hope you make it to 26 and maybe 27 they'll bury you? Huh? Come on, let's get vision. Let's get life. Let's realize, man, God is moving mightily in our lives. Amen. Amen. Revelation 24. Did I say number 10? No. Okay, number 10. Oh, I like this one. Jesus is coming back to renew all things. That ought to get you going there. He came as a baby to start it, but how many knows he finished? He didn't. The Bible says he finished and sat at the right hand of the Father. But how many knows he's coming back? He's coming back to really finish it. Amen. He's really come back to finish it. So Christmas is not just about looking back to the day. I heard somebody say the other day, well, how can you celebrate Christmas? He wasn't born on December 25th. How in the world can you guys, you Christians, celebrate the 25th of December? Well, we know he wasn't born in December. I don't know exactly when he was born, if anybody does. But I do know that we do set a day aside to honor the birth of our Savior. Amen. You know, Brother Sonny will agree with me. You know, there's a lot of people in Africa that don't know when they're born. They don't know their birthdays. They don't have birth certificates. They don't remember the date they were born. They don't even know how old they are. But you know what? Thank God, Jesus is coming back to make things right. Amen. Amen. Jesus will come again. Come on up, worship team. Jesus will come again. He will come again, and he's going to reign over this earth in righteousness and truth and grace. Amen. Revelation 21:4. I went to a funeral the other day, and I heard them singing about when they get to heaven, how they're going to cry for all their loved ones that they left behind. And I thought, maybe they need to read the Bible, whoever that songwriter was, because my Bible says there will be no tears in heaven. Huh? I can't imagine my mom and dad looking down and you know, if I have a bad day, that they just start crying because their son had a bad day. There's no tears in heaven. Amen? I said amen? Okay, so he's going to make all things right. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. Hallelujah. These things are gone forever. Amen. We got a man on the front row that had an accident a few weeks ago. He's still in pain, still working through the pain. But you know what? In heaven, no more. No more. John, where are you at, buddy? Where's John? Is he back in the back? Is he security today? John, no more pain. Thank God. The world that we live in today has so much fear, so much anxiety, so much, you know, not uncertainty and confusion. But I want to tell you something. If you just hold on, Jesus is coming soon. I'm not waiting for him to punch my ticket today. I really don't want to go today, but if it's my time to go, I'll go, and I'll go joyfully. If I step off of this pulpit, off of this platform today, and it's my time to go, don't weep for me. I'm just getting an address change, okay? They're going to change my address. No longer 3201, but P.O. Box 1 in heaven, right? So don't cry for me. I understand funerals are a time that we grieve a little while and we sorrow, but we don't want to live in that grief. We don't want to live in that sorrow. We don't want to open the door for a spirit of grief to come in and torment us. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. We'll read this last verse of Scripture. I'm going to give you a test here in just a minute, see if you remember all 10 of them. Get your thinking cap on. Hebrews 9:28. Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of the people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, glory to God, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Isn't that good news? Let's pray this. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for giving me a living hope. Help me to live in the light of eternity. May I look forward to your coming and telling the world that Jesus is coming soon. Father, thank you for this word that's gone forth today. I know it's been simple and elementary, but God, I believe it's going to help us to be reminded of the true meaning of Christmas. Thank you that you're with us, you're for us. You're in us. You're abiding in us. You're dwelling in us. Romans 8 says you're dwelling in us. I thank you today, Lord, that we have the assurance that we're never alone. We're never alone. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.